I come around to this time of year every year, and it feels important, but it also is difficult. There's a mix of this important celebration of different space of insight, and yet there's also the struggle with the season itself, with all the emotions, and I would say with the darkness, even as I try every year to understand how to better move within it. Our reading is from The Luminous Darkness, a personal interpretation of the anatomy of segregation and the ground of hope by the mystic Howard Thurman. First, he quotes from the Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. This is what he writes in the prologue. In an appendix to a term paper, one of my students included the following in his description of his experience as a deep sea diver. En route or en route to the floor of the ocean, the diver first passes through the belt of the fishes. This is a wide band of light reflected from the surface of the sea. From this area, he moves to a depth of water that cannot be penetrated by light above the surface. It is dark, foreboding, and eerie. The diver's immediate reaction is apt to be one of fear, and sometimes a sudden spasm of panic that soon passes. As he drops deeper and deeper into the abyss, slowly his eyes begin to pick up the luminous quality of the darkness. What was fear is relaxed, and he moves into the lower region with confidence and peculiar vision. From the reading from Howard Thurman, notice that the diver, when he or she reached the darkness, could return to the surface. But without going deeper, without going into the darkness, the diver would not experience the luminous shift, nor would they be able to relax and move with confidence and vision. They would simply return to the surface and get back on the boat. The winter solstice occurred at 12:11 p.m. yesterday here, December 21st. This is something you don't really care about, but it's very important to us. The Earth is tilted 23.5 degrees away from the sun, and at that moment, and we're up here, at that moment, 11 minutes after noon, the sun was directly overhead the Tropic of Capricorn in the southern hemisphere, and we experienced the shortest day of the year. Waverly Fitzgerald of the School of the Seasons writes that the winter solstice is unique among days of the year, the time of the longest night and the shortest day. The dark triumphs, as we heard, but only briefly, for the solstice is a turning point. From now on until the summer solstice, at any rate, the nights grow shorter and the days grow longer, the dark wanes and the sun waxes in power. From the dark womb of the night, the light is born. From the dark womb of the night, the light is born. We don't live that, but there it is. Over the years, humans in temperate and northern climates of the Western world have concentrated festivals of light around this return of the light. Last year, we were in the synagogue at this time, and Agudas Israel Rabbi Phil Cohen reminds us that this is a larger story. Virtually every religion has a winter solstice holiday. You can actually hear him say, "It's dark, it's winter. Let's bring God into the world. We all share that theme in common." And then he would go into a lesson from the Torah and explain it. Christians celebrate bringing the light of God into the dark days of winter by remembering the birth of Jesus. He said Jews celebrate bringing God's light and warmth into the cold darkness by lighting candles on Hanukkah. He would say, "It's dark, it's winter. Let's bring God into the world," as if it's obvious. Let's just do it. theist or atheist, we need that luminous quality in our lives, that insight of deep life and light returning to touch us and reassure us. So let's help make it happen. The winter solstice is not simply a passing date or interesting solar event reflected in this diversity of religious festivals. I would say it's much more than that. I would say it's also very much a part of who we are as biological beings. We are creatures of the sun and the effect of different amounts of sunlight. That's sort of how we orient and evolved. In this case, the different amounts are interpreted as darkness, and that's also reflected in our biology. It's part of our environment, as our environment is part of our being. I happen to think that is why we have these festivals. They arise out of our interactions with the realities of our lives. On the summer solstice, June 21st, the longest day of the year in Hendersonville, it lasted 14 hours, 34 minutes, and 5 seconds. I timed it. You can Google it now. Today, we will only have 9 hours, 45 minutes, and 1 second of sunlight behind the clouds somewhere. That's a decrease of almost 5 hours of sunlight since June. I did the same arithmetic last year and reminder, and then I forget it, the extent of it. We are beginning to feel it. And although the days began to lengthen today, we will feel the effects of the dark. We will be in this lengthy dark for the next few months of winter, even as the daylight begins to lengthen slowly. Today is 2 seconds longer than yesterday. And Christmas Day will be 24 seconds longer than today. 2 seconds. It's the seemingly tiny result of an immense, powerful cosmic shift or motion. The light begins its return. And we celebrate birth and promise now in order to carry us into and through the dark months to come. Still, it's only a daily change of seconds. And as much as we focus on the return of the light, it is the dark that we are feeling. It is real, surrounding, and affecting, a very real affecting presence. And yet, perhaps, it is a presence to experience, even as we want it to go away, or even as we want to get away from it. We might consider Howard Thurman's phrase, the luminous darkness, as a seasonal reality, a description of God's light, or of light and warmth we talked about at the beginning, or also as a metaphor of personal experience, of light and insight and depth. As divers of life, we seek light and air. That is our nature. Without it, we feel like we're drowning. And yet, as eager as we always are to get back to the surface, remember, too, the birth metaphor. Christmas, the light and air we seek. The very light and air of life are born out of the depth of stillness and dark. Creation is action born out of stillness. Life is birthed out of gestation. The illumination we seek may come out of darkness. From the dark womb of the night, the light is born. I have these notes I'll leave out, but it's about seasonal affective disorder. It's labeled a disorder when we get to feel this way. A disorder, something to be cured. We can't allow ourselves to be affected by the darkness. There's too much to do. Before electricity, people in northern climes hibernated. They slept. The whole village slept. In the midst of celebration, people are feeling depressed. They may attribute their feelings to being overwhelmed or lonely or grieving. This is a complexly powerful time, and those all contribute to how we feel. The slowing down that comes with our biology in this northern climate sort of piles on to that and contributes too. I was surprised by low energy in the last couple of weeks. I could tell you more about that. And yes, for those of you who come up afterwards, I have been taking St. John's wort, and No, I haven't been sitting in front of a full spectrum lamp. And yes, I don't like this feeling, and I want my energy to come back. I want some sun. I mean, it's just that simple. I'm a Florida boy. I want some sun. Have you noticed that most of our friends who head south to Florida or Mexico or to Thailand left within the last couple of weeks? They got the heck out of Dodge. Writer Thomas More's understanding of spirit and soul helps me in this thinking. Where spirit and soul are ways of referring to complementary aspects of existence, much like yin and yang. One can be emphasized more than the other or dominate more than the other, but they cannot be separated or disconnected. And here, spirit can be thought of as the light and air and action of the surface, and soul more as the depth and dark with that luminous quality. That sort of, what did the diver say? It's sort of a difference of vision. Spirit arises within the darkness of soul. Think of a clear winter night, no moon, a deep cobalt blue sky that sparkles with gems of starlight. Truly connected spirit is that movement towards energy that arises from the feeling depths of soul. But of these two, spirit is the mode we know best and cultivate. Show me your calendars. Look at your schedules. We are a culture of spirit. We run on spirit and action, particularly in this season of light and celebration. We are about action and celebration, distraction and expectations. We honor and value them, as we should, but we honor and value them sometimes at the expense of gestation, reflection, and insight. Don't ever slow down. In our modern lives, the lights are always on and the surface is only an on-off switch away. There's TV, computers, spirited entertainment. I'm reminded of a frontline television program on the development of the brain, particularly that second growth spurt of the frontal lobe that happens in our teens and early 20s. During this time, the brain is overloaded, changing and adjusting and learning. And guess what turns out to be the best predictor of success in school? You're probably there right now. The amount of sleep. And what is the main reason they said that teens are sleep deprived? Television and computers, flat screen, lights, late at night. The low-level stimulation keeps them up. Now, today I'm not going to address the escape aspect and the importance of that and how I get involved in it myself, or I'm not going to really sort out depression. But sleep functioning as rest and rejuvenation, but also as pause, as moving into the darkness, as soul. In this example, we can actually think of them as the place, the space from which answers come. You do better with answers the next day. The space from which answers come, insights, understanding. Think about that word in light of today's metaphor, understanding, deeper, foundational knowing. During the last few months, I've been working with Sharon Park's understanding of faith as deep meaning-making. She calls it the activity of seeking and discovering meaning in the most comprehensive dimensions of our experience, not being told what it is, but seeking the diver and discovering in the depths, in the most comprehensive dimensions of our experience. Faith, she says, is a broad, generic human phenomenon. To be human is to dwell in the sense one makes out of life, what seems ultimately true and dependable about yourself, about the world, and the cosmos. She also then goes on to hold up the imagination as the highest power of the knowing mind. She says it's the way we make sense out of our lives, the way we compose and recompose the sense of our experiences, the way we deal with the times when things change, which they will, the times when our life composure falls apart. In her paradigm of how the imagination works, life doesn't get put back together merely by continuing with action. It doesn't get put back together by working harder or thinking through it more or pushing through or staying busy. There have to be moments of pause within which the recomposing process of the imagination is at work. 19th century thinker and poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge said the mind, he uses these words, the mind is asleep, but the soul keeps watch with no tension, calm and active. Consciousness, he said, is connected with master currents below the surface. And Park says, the deep need of the spirit for pause relentlessly makes its claim, nevertheless, sometimes in mundane forms. We discover ourselves lingering even when we should be speeding on our way. Something shifts in us even when we are waiting for the bathtub to fill, or I would say standing in the shower an extra long time, or for the line we are standing in to wind its way to the ticket booth up ahead. We say, let me put it on the back burner for a while. Or what else is we say? I'll sleep on it. And in the pause, out of the pause, out of the darkness, light returns. I often wonder about this busy time of December and what it would be like to sit in this low winter light without much schedule, without too many plans, without painful loneliness, with reasonably good health, without the burden of grief, to be more still and present with that solar biological pace of the season and my body than usual, to be able to sit suspended in the luminous darkness without fear or anxiety, and then the pause, actually enough air coming through the tubes to take it in. I sense that there is a very real deep sweetness that lies within the pause of the earth and the sun, our makers. It may come with gentle gifts that in our own natural hustle to make something grander or better or to meet those expectations, whether ours or others, in our attempts to get away from the sorrows and sad memories that may come along too, it may come with gentle gifts that we may overlook and then miss some of the real life gifts of the season altogether. Spirit and soul recomposing us in these days. This Tuesday is Christmas Eve. Our service bridges the setting of the sun and the coming of the night, 5 o'clock. And we have dimmers, or we might have dimmers for the Christmas Eve service. That's so exciting. It anticipates the celebration of Christmas as it settles into the evening with both quiet and excitement. Wednesday is Christmas Day. Out of the dark of the womb, the light is born. And what I want to get is this. Think of a clear winter night, no moon, a deep cobalt blue sky that sparkles with gems of starlight. And then I'm going to make a mundane move. Look at the carpet. I think of the carpet as that luminous darkness out of which that soul, out of which the spirit emerges. And as I was doing the reading this morning for the first time, come down from the surface through the belt of the fishes. Hello, fishes. Belt of the fishes into the luminous darkness. It's that action, activity, personalities, us. But there's something below us, above us, around us. Out of the dark of the womb, the light is born. In the last few years, I've started thinking about Christmas. I've talked to you about this, both of these things now for on and off now for 3 years at least. I've started thinking about Christmas as simply welcoming Jesus as a baby. Just doing that. Before he becomes the myth and legend and institutions and our experiences of them. Jesus as a baby who grows up to know what it means to live well, to find and know light in the darkness. He becomes a religious exemplar, a person who our tradition says we can aspire to be like. This Christmas, too, I realize that with the death of Nelson Mandela, you can put this into the Christmas metaphor, because when you talk about peace for the world, he is a vision of what that peace can mean what that light can be, even in the darkest of times. So there's a real example in our world today. So maybe this winter, don't just leave the baby there on Christmas Day, or scoop him up in the wrappings, you know, and get him out, or jump from newborn babe to grown man and all those issues that go around it, on to the next thing. But maybe settle in. Settle in a little. Spend time with this baby this winter. Try to learn what he learns. Learn what a religious exemplar, whoever yours is, says about what it means to live well. Learn what he learns. Settle in to help raise him, and little by little, perhaps only by seconds each day. The earth does no more than that. Just as the sun does to the day, perhaps to do that and to bring more light and love into the world and into your world. Illuminate the world with your life.